it's unusual for any nursery to be quiet, or to, you know, your home life to be quiet without children when you're used to being in a very noisy environment.
Yes, it's unbelievable. All we hear is the birds, and we're not complaining about the birds, of course. But
no, it's beautiful. And in fact, some of your videos on your Little Land Nursery Instagram page is your beautiful garden, and you can hear the birds tweeting in the background. In fact, there's that lovely one of you inside the fairy tunnel, or sat next to the fairy tunnel. Now, what do you think is unique about your special nursery?
Possibly the fact that I'm the owner, founder, and I'm there every day of the week for the last 26 years. And also the fact that we don't have nannies. We've never had a nanny culture in the nursery where we have nannies working in the classrooms. So our teachers have always worked with assistants. And with the growth of our family and the fact that we're there so long, many of our assistants are actually qualified teachers or nurses.
Well, that's the right way, because actually qualifications really, really matter. And, you know, having people that know what they're doing, who've got that experience, makes a big difference, because a new team can be quite kind of all muddled up with the busyness of September. And in your nursery, you know, all your staff have been there a long time, so you don't have that.
Yes, exactly. And they know, even if I wasn't to remember to tell them or suggest what we're doing, and they know what to do, and they often come and say to me, actually, this group is a little different. I think we need to have a playtime at, you know, a little bit earlier, or we need to extend our snack time, or just depending on the particular group. But the teachers are very autonomous within their classrooms.
And, you know, you're following the child's needs, aren't you, in your nursery? You're very much focused on them.
Exactly. Normally, you know, from nursery, when we start in our first term, we do All About Me, All About My Family, and it helps us to get to know the children, and it helps the children to get to know us. And we ask the parents to send in a picture of their child with their family. But there are different ways to do this. And last year, there was a class of 2 1/4-year-olds who weren't so keen, but they loved the song The Wheels on the Bus. So we got to know them, who got on the bus, who got on the bus with them, and who were their family members who got on the bus, and then where did they go, and who lived at home. And that's how we did it. So there are always many ways to do things. And our experienced teachers, I mean, I just loved the way the teacher flipped what she had planned to actually follow the children when she saw that they were really ignited by that song.
And that's the beauty of in-the-moment planning. Now, not every nursery school will have the confidence or the experience in their teachers to switch their planning, to go in the moment and follow the child's interest. But it really seems, talking to you, that your teachers are very strong, confident and capable as leaders in the classroom.
Yes, they are indeed. In fact, I think they could probably all do my job.
Oh, I'm sure they won't try and steal your job.
No, of course not. So, but they could do it, which is a nice, it's very inspiring for me. I did have to go home for a few weeks in 2019, and the nursery was carried completely as if I was there. It was amazing, and I felt so secure and safe.
That's a great team.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is that when children, you know, we want our children to be safe and secure in a nursery, and choosing a nursery that has a long heritage like yours is a really important factor to how the children will feel safe and secure.
Yes, I think it really adds value, and parents have the confidence. I mean, if they look at, I'm not a salesperson, so I just say, well, have a look at the parent reviews. And generally that's what they've done. They've gone on Google and had a look at the reviews or Ed Arabia. And I think parents speaking to parents is the most important way to actually hear about a nursery. And if the nursery has what you want.
And the thing is you're just so quietly just perfect as a nursery. You know, you go on your Instagram page and it's really nice, kind of gentle videos. It's not overly commercial. You're just yourselves, and you've been that way for the last 26 years. So for somebody listening, could you describe your nursery so they step through the doors? What would they see?
Okay, so the famous red door, they come in through the famous red door, and Erica and Deirdre will be in the office on the left and they'll welcome them. And then we have a very wide open playground. Everybody kind of goes, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine it was this huge.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's really lovely, big spacious playground with a big spacious sand area. And I won't call it a sand pit because it's quite big. And then we have a big garden, and we have garden planters along the corridors that the children also plant. It's fun to see them in the mornings picking up the basil, having a sniff before they go into class.
Well, I love it because basil grows so wildly here, doesn't it? And you can, you know, you just get an abundance of basil. So you can be nice. Do you ever make things like pesto with the children, or, you know, use the herbs in herby Play-Doh and things like that?
Yes, yes, we do. And we've made our own butter, and then they spread their own butter on their rice cakes. And they've made pesto, and they've made a mix of their peppers and tomatoes that they've grown. So a little vegetable mix. Yeah, they do lots of cold cooking mostly.
But that just sounds so calming and so lovely that I'm sure any child would feel safe and secure at Little Land Montessori Nursery. But we're going to be back after a short break, and I think we're going to touch more on some parenting techniques, some of the kind of things that you've been sharing on your Instagram to support families, particularly during lockdown and COVID, might be of use for families to hear today. So keep with us, stay with us at Happy Families with Principal Lisa. It's been a real pleasure to chat to you so far. So stay tuned, keep it at Pearl 102 FM.
Definitely a beautiful day. Wake up with the Breakfast Club show with me, Safe.
This guy is really good.
With exciting features every day.
Get out. Best advice. Doing good together.
Entertaining knowledge for everyone. So much excitement in the morning with lots of fun and laughter.
Listen tomorrow morning from 8.
Good morning.
Don't miss out on the Breakfast Club show with me, Safe.
Only on Pearl 102. Love this radio station.
Once upon a time,
what you did will not go unpunished.
They heard the giant's footsteps.
Children love to hear a good story, and grown-ups too.
Oh, how exciting!
Listen together to all great and classic stories with Storytime.
Storytime!
So, I see that everyone is invited.
Make it a habit. Tune in to Storytime. Weekdays from 1 p.m. and 6 p.m.
Storytime! Only on Pearl
102!
With Principal Lisa.
Sponsored by our friends at Mom's World.
This is Pearl
shifting from town to town. Every time I slip and slide a little further down. I can't blame you if you won't take me back after everything I put you through. But honey, you're my last hope, and who else can I turn to? Still I had to learn that the one shot.
was the sweet love I had with you. And honey, you're my last hope. And who else can I turn to?
I've managed to get Principal Brett on the phone from Arbor School. So after a few technical difficulties, I've got him on the line and I'm just about to bring him in. Hello, good morning, Principal Brett.
Good morning, Sister. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Great to chat. Very good, actually. It's fantastic. We finally made it back on board.
How did you manage to get any sleep last night?
I'll just say yes. How much?
Because, I mean, it's such an exciting event after all these months of you know, not being able to bring children into school and such a big day. How is everyone at Arbor School?
Brilliant. Like, really, really, just it's so good to be back. From waiting out the car park this morning to I'm lucky now I can see out my office window to the playground and the garden where our youngest children are sort of stomping around amongst the trees. So it's just fantastic to have them all here.
And to be able to hear children playing again must just be lovely for you.
Well, schools are an empty place without children. They're quite easy to clean and keep in order, but they're very empty without the smiles and the laughs and the giggles running down the corridors.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your school? Particularly, I'm interested in something that you have there that's quite unique, is eco-literacy.
Absolutely, yes. I know we're limited for time, so I'll sort of do a simple version of it, but hopefully it makes sense. So we're a British curriculum school, so that defines the what that we deliver, the learning outcomes and the phases and stages. So that's the what. And then the how is really very important to us. So how is founded in this concept of experiential, you know, child-led, child-centered, and with an element of inquiry built into all levels and project-based learning. So those two things go together. So we're really focusing on the fundamentals supported by these authentic experiential learning opportunities. And sitting in between those is eco-literacy, sustainability, and global environmental justice. So eco-literacy is kind of the overarching one, and that is this concept that, yes, we're green, yes, we worry about waste and rubbish and recycling, but actually understanding how all the pieces of a system fit together is the key part to understanding how to solve all these challenges. And so eco-literacy is actually systems literacy, understanding the different parts of the puzzle and how they fit together. And so you might see that in the youngest years, you know, when they look at a pond and they see a pond, certainly it is a pond and they love seeing the turtles and the fish. But actually, sun feeds the algae, algae feeds the fish feeds the turtles. So it's a system. And so as we mimic that and we add layers and layers of complexity as we move up through the school, at the end we want these children to understand that it's not until we can connect all the dots and understand the different elements of it that we can really solve the challenges in front of us in the world now.
And you've got some domes and animals. At your school, what kind of animals have you got there?
Oh, goodness me. We had snakes for a little while. Obviously, they're in cage. We've got some guinea pigs running around. We've got all sorts of lizards. We've got some rabbits, some bunnies, a few birds that are free flying. And I think the beautiful thing is that we do have 6 biodomes, 3 smaller ones, which are used largely for food production and small activities, and 3 fabulous big ones. And the animals in there are largely now are free roaming. So they help us again to talk about care, to look at responsibility, to talk about how systems work. And really, it's something that we are getting better at as teachers, to talk about how that impacts our learning for a 4-year-old, and then try and build that up in terms of the complexity of, you know, farming versus wild caught fish, or adaptations of different species and how that affects the ecosystem. So we build that layer upon layer of complexity right through the school until we get to our oldest children.
And not only is your school a dream destination for any child, I mean, to have that environment here in Dubai is quite extraordinary. Yeah. I was having dinner with a few teachers at the weekend, and I happened to mention I was interviewing you, and the enthusiasm in the room was, it's my dream to go and work there, you know.
We've been lucky, you know, I say we've been lucky. We're lucky to get fantastic teachers, because it's like you say, we've got biodomes, we've got sports fields, we've got the drama suite. So they all really come together. I mean, they're designed to set up opportunities for teachers to illustrate the things that we believe in. So yes, there's a fantastic biodome, but it's not a zoo. We don't go once to visit it and say that was a lovely chameleon to come back. It's going in there with intention to learn, to use that environment to enrich the experience. And so again, for the littlest ones, why would you talk about a beanstalk when you can go and feel the beanstalks and smell the beanstalks and you know, see how they grow and look at the curls of the tendrils? And that's just backloading, or if you like, front loading even. So when they come to write stories, well now, hey, they've got a load of all this vocab and experiences that they can draw on. And as I say, we build it up and up. But it's gorgeous. I mean, the children, you can imagine, they have a blast. Teachers have a blast. And really, the only limits for us at the moment is the limits of our imagination, how far we can explore and take risks in our teaching.
That just sounds so special, just so welcoming, to imagine yourself being able to touch and feel all that nature every day when you're at school. But yes, you also grow your own produce in there, and you've got the Arbor Farmhouse, haven't you?
We do. It's kind of been a realisation as we went along. We're like most schools, we had a canteen provider, a service provider. We said, look, we've got our own organic greenhouse here that can grow produce. We've got small biodomes in which we can grow, you know, vegetables, et cetera, all year round. So we really completed that farm to fork concept. We went out and we said, look, let's get the Arbor Chef. So the Arbor Chef, Chef Anna, who is phenomenal, has brought to life this concept of farm to fork. We produce as much as we can on site, and we put that into our own canteen system. So the children now, you know, rather than getting food service, they've got literally a chef that has worked in 2 Michelin-starred restaurants, caring deeply about what they're eating, and the concept of shortening the carbon, the supply chain, reducing the carbon miles, going organic as much as possible, going sustainable, so reducing the meat content. Not taking it out, because it's not about changing people into vegans. That's not our aim. It's about sustainability. So ways in which we can help the kids be sustainable and eat fantastic food. You know, we're all about that.
But you have a vegan menu there. In fact, somebody I was talking to told me that rather than saying, oh, you're a vegetarian, it's a non-veggie option. How does the menu work?
So the chef has put together 3 options. So the children would either choose the meat option, the meatless option, or the vegan option. And at the minute, of course, it's a little bit tricky to arrange the food services. But so once you've chosen an option, she's put together the menu. The menu's published 4 weeks in advance so parents can see what's coming, any allergies, etc. And then she packages it up and delivers it. So right now I can see again the package of lunch, and on there she's put a handwritten note to the children so they can, you know, they can see who it's come from.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, enjoy your lunch. I think it's gorgeous. It's fantastic. And by the way, the staff are buzzing because they go to the cafe, they've got salads and freshly baked banana bread, and just, it's a real treat for them.
So are you looking forward to your lunch today?
I've already had mine, and yes, it was fantastically good.
What did you have for lunch?
I shot down there and I had a piece of banana bread.
Nice.
And I've got a piece of salad, but I've got to finish that shortly. A piece of salad, a bowl of salad, sorry.
Well, thank you so much. You're making me hungry listening to you. Your school is just very special, and I'm looking forward to welcoming you a lot more to Happy Families here at Pearl FM. We've run out of time today, but hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again soon. That's Principal Brett from the Arbor School. Have a great day ahead, Brett, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh! Stay tuned. Happy Families will be right back. This is Pearl 102.
Maybe I'm foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror, what do you see? See it clearer, or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human after all, and you're only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. My opinion, don't ask me to lie and beg for forgiveness for making you cry, for making you cry. 'Cause I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human, I do what I can. I'm just a man, I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Happy Families with Principal Lisa, powered by Mum's World, only on Pearl 102.
Hello, welcome back to Happy Families with Principal Lisa. Wow, the last hour has flown by and we've still got Sheorg with us in the studio from Little Land Montessori Nursery. Thank you so much for being with me today and keeping me company.
It's been a real pleasure, Lisa. I've really enjoyed it.
And so one question I wanted to ask you, on WhatsApp, somebody asked me, when is the right time for their child to start in nursery? What's your thoughts on that?
So I like children to start once they've dropped their morning sleep. I really value, I know it's a bit of a luxury and some parents have to put their children in nursery beforehand, but if they can't, keep their child at home until they've dropped the morning sleep. That's a really important one for their neurological development. The afternoon sleep is more about physical exhaustion, so I like to get them tired and send them home to sleep.
But you know, that's a very special thing that you've said that, because a lot of kind of business owners might be saying, well, you know, you just get them in the nursery, but actually you've really thought about the well-being and the need of the child for that early, you know, that morning sleep. Now, you know, my experience after the last 30 years of working with children and families would tell me that would be about kind of 18 months. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, between 16 and 18 months. And the first month is spent settling in, so coming for short times frequently. So by the end of the first month, if they're already 16 months, they tend to have built up the stamina to be able to stay awake for the morning.
And so, you know, families obviously have been waiting and waiting and hoping that nurseries would open. So what's the news, Hjalg?
We are opening on October the 5th.
Oh, congratulations.
Our fourth, I'm so sorry.
October the 4th, congratulations. And are there any spaces left so anyone listening could come along and join?
Yes, we have some spaces. We haven't been able to register anybody during all this time. I wouldn't take money from people unless I could promise them I was opening.
A very, very ethical lady. So for the last 26 years, you've been in Little Land Nursery every day supporting families, and you intend to carry on. You're going to open There You Are in October, and everybody at Happy Families is right behind you and wishes you well, Hjalg. But we've run out of time today. Thank you for coming on, and hopefully maybe you can come back again and perhaps talk to us about some of your parenting techniques that you share on your Instagram. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
It's been fantastic having Hjalg with me here in the studio today. And we're going to play out with a beautiful song by Lewis Capaldi, Someone You Loved. So don't forget, you can listen to me every day between 12 and 1, and you can send me a WhatsApp 056-995-0022. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Time I fear there's no one to save me. This all or nothing really got away, you're driving me crazy. I need somebody to hear, somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like. Nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pull the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you loved. I'm going under in this time, I fear there's no one to turn to. This all or nothing way of loving, go be sleeping without. You. I need somebody to.
This is Pearl, the best radio station for children and families.
This is Pearl. Keep it up right here.
This is Pearl, the number one fan station in the UAE.
We love Pearl 102!
Words are not sufficient to express our appreciation, but we just want to say this.
Thank you, all the doctors and all, for helping us. Thank you all.
We salute all the men and women in the health sector, police force and the military for your bravery, dedication and sacrifice for UAE and the world. You are already part of our history. As heroes.
We love school! This is Pearl!
From 2 to 5 p.m., listen to the Afternoon Drive with Magic Phil. Only on Pearl 102.
Story time!
Story time!
Only on Pearl!
Welcome to Story Time!